It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, I'll be talking with Robert Buckley, who, when he reached retirement age, he needed a new adventure, and he started walking hundreds of miles in multiple countries. He's written about his experience in the book 2 Miles an Hour. But first, another Iowa man who has logged a lot of miles on his feet, but for a very different reason. Chris Barnett is a little over halfway through his walk across the state of Iowa and back again to raise awareness for the need for foster parents in Iowa. He's an Iowa KidsNet foster care worker, and he started out on May 3rd in Dubuque. Hello, Chris.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
You're welcome.
Now, what gave you the idea of walking across the state of Iowa and back again?
Well, a couple things. I turned 50 on May 4th, actually, and I was looking for something big and fantastic to do for that event. And in conjunction with that, I work with foster families and Department of Human Services on a daily basis, trying to place kids in homes. And unfortunately, we've had a real struggle trying to place even infants at times lately, and that's never been that way in the past. I can give you an example. In Dubuque, we went from 100 homes when I started working in there to about 50. And that seems to be a problem not only throughout Iowa, but other states as well. So just had a passion for foster care and decided we'd pursue this to try and recruit other homes.
How much of a shortage do you feel we have? I mean, that tells me that half as many foster parents are active in Dubuque now as were before, but how many homes are needed that are not available?
Well, we're hoping to get back up to that number if possible, at least a third more throughout the state. What happens too often is our kids end up getting placed out of the area where they're familiar with because we don't have any empty homes. Our homes are always filled to capacity. So if there isn't a home available, we end up changing their school sometimes, splitting siblings up. And it's just not a good thing as far as trying to reunify the family and for the comfort and safety of that child.
And you mentioned your passion for foster care, which comes from a very personal place. You went into foster care yourself. How old were you when you first entered the system?
I was 14 when I entered the system.
What was going on in your life at that point?
Well, I grew up in a fairly abusive home. And at about age 14, I began to kind of fight back and run away. And my parents just weren't in a situation to deal with that, and kind of painting a picture to social services that I was the problem and not necessarily them. I was fortunate enough to be placed in two very, very positive homes, and I strongly believe I would not be where I am today had they not encouraged and bolstered my self-esteem and showed me a different way to live.
When you were taken out of your family's home, you mentioned your family painted a picture. They were seeking help for you or with you because they said you were a troubled kid. How long did it take someone to realize that you were the one who needed the help?
Not too long. I think once you're out of the picture and people see what kind of child you are, I wasn't one of those children that fought all the time or was in trouble with the law. And so I think in due time, people saw that, this is a decent kid here. And I think that motivated people to invest in me and help me through things.
You mentioned you were in two different foster homes, and that's very typical for people in foster care, isn't it? To move through a number of different placements.
It is, yes. The reason I ended up doing that is, pretty much every summer I'd go home trying to make things work out, which most of our kids want to do, go home, even if it is an abusive setting. By the summers out or ending, I'd be back in care. So that brought about the need for a couple different homes. I also was placed out of my community a good hour away. So big changes like a lot of our kids experience.
And you had 5 siblings, right?
Yes.
But they weren't placed in foster care?
No, they weren't. I'm like the scapegoat in the house who received most of the abuse, and that's just the way it was. I certainly don't fault my parents. I've forgiven them. I've learned about their past and history and some things they've experienced. So it makes sense to me why things happened the way they did. It doesn't make it right, but, you know, you kind of look at those things and learn to go on with life.
So many people who are abused have so much to deal with personally in their thinking about themselves. A lot of kids who are abused blame themselves. What kind of support did you get in foster care to help you understand that this wasn't your fault?
Well, the biggest thing was, and particularly the second home I was at, I was 17 at the time, getting ready to go on my own. They did everything they could to get me ready to go out on my own. Their own son, who was close to the same age, kind of aligned with me, and we did a lot of things together. They were responsible for my first school dance, things like that, helping me graduate. So just a lot of investment in me as an individual. You know, one could tell that they genuinely cared about the kids that were in their home.
Now, we hear a lot these days about people aging out of the foster care system at age 18, and most of us can't imagine being entirely on our own at the age of 18. When you aged out of the system, did you have any support to help you get through college?
Well, first of all, I did what kids do. I went right back to my family. And again, it didn't work out. So before a month or two of that last summer, a perfect stranger took me in and helped me out again. So, you know, but that's something typical that most kids do. They go seek out their family regardless of how abusive it might have been. As far as support for me, a lot of it came from my older sister, who was already out of the home, and church persons that she associated with. So, you know, they saw through the stuff that was going on at home and invested in myself.
When did you decide that you wanted to devote your career to helping kids who needed the kind of support that you needed, to foster care?
Well, that's a story in itself, because I swore that I wouldn't be working in this field, having grown up in it and living it. You know, I kind of consider it divine intervention. I've been doing it since, it's 28 years now that I've been working in this field.
Knowing the struggles that you have with this lack of foster homes, and, of course, seeing such difficult situations on a daily basis, seeing kids who need help, and I know that has to hit very close to home, how do you stay hopeful doing that?
Well, I don't think it was mentioned yet, but my wife and I did foster for 9 years. We had over 30 kids through our home during those 9 years. And, you know, we saw some genuine change by some of the kids. Not all of them, but most of them appreciated the help we were trying to give them. Many of them, you don't see that you've made a difference until after they're young adults and they come back to what you've taught them. But it just genuinely feels good to be able to help, you know, kids like that. Most of the kids, even though we took some of the more difficult ones, you look at their past and you understand that it wasn't all them, you know, creating the situation they were in, even if they were in trouble with the law and whatnot. You know, so they're kind of victims of their circumstances, and you can't help but feel for them and want to help them.
As you're out there trying to raise awareness for the need for foster parents, I mean, clearly you've seen this from both sides, and raising kids is hard work. Raising kids who come with a lot of baggage and a lot of worries and a lot of trouble is really, really hard work. And the idea of opening up your home and your life and your heart to these kids, that's a big deal.
It is.
What can you tell people to make them feel like that would be something that they could do?
Yeah. Well, what I would suggest is a couple of things. I mean, it really takes some soul searching. Foster care is not for everybody. We know that. As you mentioned, it is a stressful situation when you're dealing with all these issues. But I would highly suggest connecting with Iowa KidsNet. We do an orientation to kind of tell them what it is to expect, what's all involved. I'd certainly be happy to talk to people myself and let them know my experiences working in the field and, you know, having kids in my home. But probably the best places to talk to somebody that's done it already. We teach foster parents. We go through a 30-hour class, but nothing prepares them until they actually have the kids in their home. So talking to somebody that's already fostered or adopted is where they maybe really want to start.
Now, you've been walking all across the state. What kind of attention are you getting out there on the road?
Well, it's kind of amazing. I've had a number of people stop. A lot of the folks that have stopped are folks that have already fostered or adopted themselves, a few strangers here and there, asking what's going on. But it's pretty clear with the bright green T-shirt and what it says, what I'm up to. So it's been nice. A lot of affirmation by other people as to, the message I'm trying to get out there. Unfortunately, we feel like we're kind of preaching to the choir at times. Those that are already invested in helping kids are the ones that are stopping a lot. I would really like to see more people that aren't already invested in the system, thinking about this, talking about this, and trying to decide, is this, fostering or adopting something for them?
Now, so far on your walk, it's been cold, windy, rainy. We've had tornadoes, all kinds of severe weather. How are you holding up?
Well, none of that has bothered me. It's about day four into the trip. My feet were pretty well blistered, and I wasn't sure how far I'd be able to continue. But we took a day off and did some mending, and we're still going. We're probably over 300 miles now. I've had some wonderful coworkers supporting me, driving alongside to provide a resting place, people walking. So it's been an enjoyable time.
All right. Well, best of luck to you, Chris.
Well, thank you.
Chris Barnett has an event in Council Bluffs today. Tomorrow, he'll make his way up to Missouri Valley. And then eventually he'll head back across the state on Highway 20, finishing in Dubuque on May 31st. You can follow his travels, Footin' It for Foster Care, on Facebook at 2GiveBack. You can find a link on our Facebook page and at iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.